My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He served as the spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office. He was communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He is now a columnist and a senior fellow for U.S. Foreign Policy at the American Foreign Policy Council. He is also the author of Sound the Trumpet, The United States and Human Rights Promotion. In many of his columns recently, Mr. Haas has been very critical of the Obama administration for what he sees as a wrong-headed approach to a nuclear deal with Iran. He joins me now to discuss why it appears most Democrats at this point appear to be on board with the nuclear plan and what argument seems to be having the most effect and what argument might lead some of them to go in the opposite direction. And Larry, it's always good to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Greg. Thanks for calling.
Well, obviously, the way this was set up with the Corker-Cardin legislation, what used to require two-thirds approval for a treaty now requires two-thirds to reject it. And I'm sure you have some thoughts on that as well. But in terms of where we stand right now, even if all Republicans vote against this, you're still going to need 13 Senate Democrats and rough 40-some House Democrats to actually reject this deal once the president vetoes any legislation. In the past few days, though, in addition to the folks we kind of assumed would be supporting the president on this deal, folks like Senator Bill Nelson in Florida, Senator Tim Kaine in Virginia, Congressman Adam Schiff of California, Murphy and Leahy of Connecticut and Vermont, respectively, are the latest today to say they'll support this. So the momentum on the Democratic side at this point, while there certainly are some skeptics, seems to be in favor of this. Why do you think that is?
Well, let's keep in mind that most Democrats, particularly in the Senate, have not come out either way. And those who have not declared, many of them, have expressed deep skepticism about this deal. The most recent one that I saw was Senator Coons from Delaware, who said that he had grave concerns. It's also the case that some very important Democrats in the House have come out against this deal. Nita Lowey, the top Republican on the House, the top Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee. Ted Deutch, an influential Florida Democrat, as well as Steve Israel, who was the head of the Democratic Congressional Reelection Committee in the last cycle. So that's not exactly chopped liver. I think the jury is still out. Look, Democrats are going to be, for all sorts of well-understood political reasons, hoping to support their own president, particularly when their own president has made it clear that he considers this as important on the foreign policy side to him as health reform was on the domestic side. The pressure from the White House is very intense, and Obama is pulling out all the stops. It is very, very difficult for any member of Congress to go against their president. So I'm not surprised that the opponents of this deal are having, a hard time getting to the number that they need. But I think we're still very early in the fight. I mean, keep in mind, the initial vote is not going to come until sometime in September. And then there's going to be some period of time before we get the override vote. So I think the jury is still out. I take your point about some important Democrats that have flocked to Obama, but there are many, many who have not declared either way, and there are an important number who have declared against who are in very important positions.
So you don't really see that there's much momentum right now either way. There's a few on each side, and the bulk of them are still wrestling with this.
Yes, that's the way I would assess this. I think there are important ones on each side, but I think the numbers show that it clearly could go either way, and August is going to be a very busy month of lobbying. The White House lobbying members, various interest groups lobbying members. I think it's too early to tell where this is going to go, but I will say this, to your point, those who want to kill this deal and want to get to two-thirds certainly have their work cut out for them, because the politics make it difficult for Democrats to come out against their president. But I do believe that it is doable, but it's tough.
Let's talk about a couple of quick things here. First of all, what do you think is the most effective argument? I don't know that a lot of Democrats necessarily look at the criteria any differently than Republicans do, but what do you think is the most effective argument for Democrats if they're going to oppose this thing?
I think the inspection regime is insane. Iran has far too much time to hide the nuclear progress that it's made at new suspicious sites. They have a full 24 days, and depending on how you read this agreement, I wouldn't be surprised if after 24 days, if Iran continues to object, you would have weeks more of negotiations just to get into a suspicious site. So I don't think that makes any sense and puts the ball really in Iran's court. Number two, I think the sanctions relief, somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 billion, even if a small portion of it goes to the nefarious activities that Iran does, the terror sponsorship, the Revolutionary Guard destabilizing of governments in the region, including U.S.-backed governments, even if a small percentage of that goes into those activities, Iran becomes even more dangerous than it currently is. And then number three, I would point to the fact that while the president talks about restrictions of some kind in all different areas, the fact of the matter is this is a time-limited agreement. The restrictions expire, depending on which ones you're talking about, at between 10 and 15 years. And what I would ask Democrats and Republicans to do is look down the road. Do you want Iran to have the ability to develop nuclear weapons either by cheating on this agreement or by letting the agreement expire, a regime that continues to chant death to America? I think that is far too dangerous for the United States.
One more practical question here in terms of how the votes might line up, and then we'll get into what the president had to say today at American University. Larry, you mentioned obviously there could be some political repercussions for those who defy the president on the Democratic side of the aisle. Is there particular fear out there for those who say, well, I think this is a terrible deal, so I'm willing to say no, but there's could be the double punishment of my vote's still not enough to get to two-thirds, and then the administration's still going to not be very happy with me?
Well, look, every member has got to decide how much aggravation they want to put up with regard to the administration. I will say this. This is an administration that's going to be gone in 18 months. In fact, less than 18 months. And with that in mind, these members are going to want to be here for far longer than that. And they're going to have to live with this decision. And after 18 months, this president cannot aggravate them in any way, cannot put any political pressure on them. The interest groups, however, the constituents, however, who are very opposed to this agreement, can continue to aggravate them for many, many years to come and put real political pressure on them and perhaps even have them risk their own reelections. So I think the president, as much as I've talked about the pressures that the White House can impose, those are short-term pressures, and members certainly can withstand them and take a long-term view of the fact that after 18 months, they'll be in Washington, the president will not.
Larry, you just laid out a few minutes ago your reasons why you believe this is a terrible deal. It's the inspections regime is quite weak. It's a short-term deal. There's a lot of other concerns about who's doing the inspecting and what concessions might be given to inspect any sites not currently on the list and that sort of thing. The president's argument today at American University is pretty similar to what it has been. Number one, if you don't like this deal, where the other option is war, this is the best arrangement we can possibly get. You can't get a stronger deal. John Kerry today saying if we don't do this, we're essentially, in his words, screwing over Iran and they'll never come back to the table. So this is them basically saying it's the only alternative to war and it's the best option we can get.
With all due respect to the administration, I must say that sounds awfully demagogic to me. The idea that the opponents of this agreement want war is ludicrous. The fact of the matter is the opponents of this agreement, of which I am one, fear that this agreement, because of how much it puts Iran in the driver's seat, will make war more likely. War in the region from the opponents of Iran that want to stop its rise as a nuclear power, war down the road by the United States because of an emboldened Iran doing things even more dangerous than it's currently doing. So I don't buy the argument. In terms of the question of this is the best deal we could get, Well, maybe the administration did a lousy job negotiating. If it were up to me, I think a member of Congress should say, this isn't good enough, go back to the table. We have an interim agreement which has restrictions on Iran. You don't know if you can do better unless you try harder. And that's what I would say. This bifurcation between take this deal or go to war is ludicrous, and no serious person should fall for that kind of demagoguery.
Larry, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
All right. Thanks for calling, Greg.
You bet. Larry Haas is a former Clinton administration official. He is a syndicated columnist. He is a senior fellow for U.S. foreign policy at the American Foreign Policy Council, and his book is Sound the Trumpet, the United States and Human Rights Promotion. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.